All right, so, you know, I think, hello, brothers and sisters, I should say that first. Good evening. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot that the Lord kind of, you know, taught me over this weekend and just coming back in Toronto. And, you know, I really do want to share everything, but, you know, that will really take hours and days. So I really wanted to pick one thing that I think, you know, was going to kind of be different from everyone else and share how the Lord has really revealed himself to me. So one of the major things that I really learned was, you know, how real the Lord is in my life. And, you know, when you get close to him, you know, how much you can see. And, well, to start off, you know, one of the things Brother Mac was saying, I don't know if any of you caught it, but he was saying, you know, a lot of the times in the world, it's a thing, you know, you see so many rules in the Bible, you see so many things that, you know, Christians aren't allowed to do, and many people think, you know, God is here to make us miserable, but it's not true. God is here to, you know, really make us really happy, and that's one thing that I really learned, and I'm just going to share about that. Okay, so coming back here, obviously you guys know that I've come back from Toronto this summer since I am here. But, you know, my original plan was to stay in Toronto, actually, this whole summer. And, you know, my plan, you know, Jay and I were going to get a place together and we're just going to rock and party all the time. And actually, you know, we had some big plans, you know. We had, like, you know, we had a plan to get some, like, this crazy HDTV with this crazy, like, theater system, because the Laos got a HDTV, and when we went there to watch, like, basketball or hockey, it just blew our minds, right? So we were like, you know, we definitely got to save up money, get one of those. And so that's what our plan was. And, you know, I thought, you know, it's great, you know, me and Jay are going to be roomies, you know, it's going to be awesome. And also, in Toronto, you know, I was going to get a job at a bank, and I was going to go and, you know, take summer school, and I was going to do something for school, too. I was going to work on this event for school. So, you know, I was really, like, I was set for it, because I worked hard for the things that I wanted to do in Toronto. You know, I was really set. I was like, you know, this is going to be a fruitful summer. It's going to be a great summer. But then one day, you know, the Lord, you know, I was praying about it. I was like, thank you, Lord, for, you know, blessing me here in Toronto, and thanks for, you know, preparing for me in Toronto. But I had a feeling that the Lord wanted to bring me back here. And, you know, first time, you know, I was like, you know, this is probably from the devil, you know, he's just trying to, like, stray me away, right? I was like, I can't listen to that. You know, this feeling kept on going, and I started praying. I was like, Lord, you know, maybe I was blinded before. Is your will really for me to go back to Vancouver? You know, I finally realized it was. And it was really tough for me to kind of tell everyone that, you know, I'm going to be going back to Vancouver, you know, giving up things. And a lot of people were like, yo, what are you saying? Like, why are you going to go back to Vancouver? Just because of this feeling you have, you know? And, you know, but I had to stay strong in my testimony. I had to say, yeah, it is. But, you know, at that time, I didn't know why the Lord wanted to lead me back to Vancouver. I had really no clue. I was like, you know, I have nothing in Vancouver. I have brothers and sisters, VCA. But other than that, you know, I have no job here. I have, like, no, like, I can't room with Jay. You know, I can't, like, you know, party every night. So, you know, what was my reason to come back? And I didn't know, but, you know, praise the Lord that, you know, he gave me the faith that to trust in him. And so I came back, and, you know, coming back here, you know, I really see the Lord provide for me. There's a lot of things that, you know, I kind of left out because, you know, I know a lot of brothers and sisters want to share, so I'm going to try to get off as soon as possible. But, you know, along the way, the Lord really prepared a lot for me and provided the way for me. And now coming back here, just seeing the Lord, you know, really continue to work within my life, you know, I got to say, you know, he's so real because, you know, he's provided me a wonderful job here now, and he's provided me so much happiness here. I really don't think that I'd be as happy as I am now if I was in Toronto. So I don't think the Lord necessarily led me back here to for me to you know, do something that, like, many people think, oh, the Lord's leading me here to do something. Not necessarily. I'm not saying that He hasn't, but, you know, He led me back because He knew I would be happier here. You know, the Lord really wants us to be happy, and that's one of the things I really learned. You know, He knows us better than we know ourselves, and He knows our future. He knows our will. He has a will for us, and as long as we follow it, you know, He'll guide us to happiness. And I think, you know, that's a major thing I learned. So that's the only thing I wanted to share. So next person.
Good evening, and well, I guess I'll start off with my ties. Anyways, today at school we have an interview for graduation, and I'm supposed to talk about my life throughout the high school and for 15 minutes. And the night before, when I was preparing, I was quite nervous, and I didn't know what to say because for 15 minutes, that's pretty long. Usually when you write an essay, one page is around like 3 minutes maybe. So I was really nervous, and so I just prayed to the Lord, and I didn't really prepare. I brought a whole bunch of stuff with me, like my plaque, my awards and stuff. And I didn't even think over what I was going to say, but I just prayed to the Lord that He would help me. And when I entered the library, I was really nervous, and my heart can't stop pounding, and I was really nervous. So I was just sitting there, and when they called my name, I was like, oh, it's my death sentence or something. And what's even worse is the person in front of me failed when she walked out. And then she looked like she's going to cry, and I was talking to her too, and that made me really, like, nervous. And then when they called me to table 4, so I was like, Selah. Okay. Anyways, so when I sat down, I was really nervous, and I prayed to the Lord that He would help me, and it was really weird. I just opened my mouth, and for the rest of 20 minutes, I couldn't shut up. And what I said was, the person thought I was really good and well-prepared. I didn't prepare. And I told her that I was a devoted Christian too, and I just went to this camp during the weekend. And so happened that she was also a Christian too, so she also started talking about song leading. She was a song leader too in her church, and we started having conversation, and somehow I just forgot my fear, and I really thanked the Lord for that. And at the end, I found out she was the one that failed my friend too. Yeah, anyways, So I was thinking about what I should share tonight, and there's two things that I really want to share, and it's the first thing is I really like the book he chose, 2 Timothy, and I think really applicable to our church, and how he said the older ones are, well, in a sense, retiring, and the younger ones have to take the roles of the older ones that's retiring. And that really hit me, because I always thought, you know, I can always sit there, and there was always that Mr. or Mrs. somebody else that can take on the role. And so I think that's really one thing that I really learned. And another thing is that he said that in the first message, he said, in the time of crisis, Lord always have the same answer. And he referred to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And he said that And as we can see, the church of Ephesians were also having a in the time of crisis, and that's what Paul reminded them, and was to go back to Jesus. And that really reminded me that everything, before we do everything, or even before we think of everything, we should always come to Him. And because it's not really us that's making the decision, that making the well decision. It's really Him that help us make those decisions. So there's no point trying to figure it out just by ourselves and not going to Him first. And another thing, the last thing I want to share is another thing I remember him mentioning, it doesn't matter the results of the things we did, or it doesn't matter how great it was, but what matters is that we're faithful even in the small things, and the Lord only looks at our faithfulness during the thing. And that also really hit me, because there's a lot of things, like small things in our church or around brother and sister that we could have done, and no, because we don't want to do it because there's no recognition, and it's just very small. It felt like it's insignificant, but that's not what the Lord sees. He doesn't care if it's a small thing or not, but what He cares is that we are faithful and that we do it not for any other reasons. Yeah. And lastly, don't wait for that Mr. or Mrs. somebody else.
Well, actually, before I share about what I learned at the retreat, I just want to talk about how the Lord has been so gracious to me. I remember about 2 years ago when I was first asked to come up and speak. I was asked by YC. It was for a gospel meeting. And when he called me and made that request, I was like, what's up with you, YC? I can't speak in public. Well, and I said that because he's not here tonight. But looking back, I realized that the Lord has given me a lot more courage to come up and speak comfortably in front of brothers and sisters. And I'm glad that He has provided me with this opportunity tonight. And while I was listening to Stephen's testimony, I was really encouraged when he mentioned that the Lord is not emphasizing on our results, but of our willingness to obey Him, to follow His instructions. So tonight, this is what I'm doing, coming up here to share all that great things the Lord has taught me. So tonight I will be speaking about three things. The first I learned was about hypocrisy. I realized that a very practical issue among Christians is that at times we're double-faced. And when we come to Sunday, Friday Fellowship, we put on this church persona. We would act and speak very spiritually. But when we leave the church, we go back to our secular, our worldly side. And I realized this is a very grave aspect of us being a Christian, because I remembered Brother Max shared that the greatest threat to the truth of Christianity is carnal Christians or unspiritual Christians. And because we may mislead others through a distorted representation of what Christians are like, and to some people we may be the only Christians they would ever meet in their life, and if we don't demonstrate how that Christ-like qualities, then we would just simply mislead them and give them the idea that if we, as Christians, would simply act like the way that they do, and what point would there be for them to be a Christian themselves? And I just believe that an outward pretense of Christ-like traits would simply be a very shameful disguise to the Lord. And the second thing that I learned was that the secrets of the passing pleasures of sins that we often become instead of seekers of God. Now I remember before the retreat, I was really I was going through a time of backsliding because I was so consumed with worldly ambitions. I was just so consumed about school, career, and just things of this world, and I realized that I have put God as my secondary priority. And I've always realized that something is wrong, but the thing is, I was not doing anything about it. I would just, you know, put it aside, you know, God, I have to do this, so you know what, I'll come back to you later. And I am just so glad that through this retreat, He has spoken to me so powerfully. It was such a real wake-up call. It's like a slap in the face. And looking back, because we're often the seekers of pleasures of the world, we crave for instant gratifications. But the Bible tells us that for what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. And that is a very real message to me that the Lord has spoken to me. And because in this world we often chase after these fleeting moments of excitement, but God is the one who provides everlasting joy and peace. And the third topic that I would like to share is that our faith is tested through difficulties. When we face trials, very difficult times, do we choose God or do we side with the world? And worse, do we say that we side with God, but in reality, we choose the ways of this world? And at this retreat, Mac has spoken of so powerfully. He said a crisis is truly revealed to our character, and it is. And I agree to that because when I think about the times when I am going through very tough times, I remember I did not always turn immediately to God. I would seek the solutions offered by this world, but often they lead me to nowhere, and instead it got me in a worse position. But after all, at the end, I would go back to the Lord, so desperate. And it is just unfortunate that sometimes I have to learn things through the hard way because I did not initially obey the Lord. So, and also something that I would like to share about is that I've never really enjoyed, you know, speaking in public. And one of the major reasons is this fear of man. You know, I was so overly concerned with, you know, how well my speech is delivered and not with the actual contents of what the Lord wants me to speak. And I realized that, and God has spoken this to me, that instead of being slaves to this fear of man, I think we should surrender to God under the fear of God. And as Solomon has mentioned in the Bible, this fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I this decision of coming up to speak is personally an act to the Lord, saying that God, no, I'm not eloquent, but you know, I would come up and speak for you. I don't have the words to speak to brothers and sisters, but I do pray that you will give me the words. And just to end of his testimony, I would just like to share this verse with you from Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. It's about the two ways of life. Entered by the narrow gates, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. This passage is very real to us as Christians because, yes, it is very tempting, the world is here, all that great things luring us, but there is also this, you know, narrow path that the Lord wants us to go through. And it is not an easy path. It is a path marked with trials, obstacles, difficulties. It's not enjoyable, but the Lord has revealed to me that by agreeing, being faithful, and walking down this narrow path, the Lord will give me this unsearchable, just so calming, this peace, this joy that I can not seek anywhere else in this world. And now I do really encourage other brothers and sisters, especially younger ones, who have who feel that the Lord has spoken to them to come up and share with brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Okay, so good evening. And as Stephen was saying before, we shouldn't wait for somebody else to come and do stuff, but like, just even in our everyday lives, when we think that, oh, somebody else will stand up for God, or somebody else will tell my friends about God, but it's not true. And then if we go to heaven and then we find out that nobody ever told that person about it, it's our fault because we didn't tell them. And yeah, that was one of the points that really stuck out to me. And something that Brother Max said really sort of shocked me. He said that we're some of the biggest gamblers. And I was thinking, what? We're gamblers? I don't even know how to play poker. How can I possibly gamble? And then he continued on and he said that we gamble our lives because we put off giving our lives to the Lord. And you know, thinking about that, you just really see how true it really is, because we're always trying to like pursue after worldly things and to fit in with our friends, but by doing that we're gambling our lives and we're risking it. And then so we shouldn't be betting on when the Lord will come, but to treat every day as if he might come that day, and then we'll always be ready. And yeah. I think probably the thing that stood out the most to me was when he said that it's not our love for the Lord that allows us to be a good Christian, but it's his love for us. And then I was just really struck by that. And then it's like, so I don't have to try and kill myself to be a better Christian or anything. Like, I don't have to. I'll work my hardest, but I don't need to stress over the fact that I'm not perfect, because no one's perfect. And the best we can do is just to try and be in the image of Christ and to let his love change us. Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm kind of sick, so my voice is going to sound a bit weird. I don't want to talk for very long, but there's a lot of echo. Yeah, I think Mac talked a lot about stepping up to do stuff during the retreat. I think that was a lot of what he talked about. How Timothy was a person that needed to, that he was young and he was not the type of person that would naturally be like Paul and come out and, you know, like be big and serve and everybody would see him, right? But then Timothy is somebody who's like really shy and is somebody who easily fades into the background. And Paul was encouraging Timothy, you know what, you got to step up and you got to serve and you got to do stuff, right? And yeah, so we're thinking about this. And then when we went back to our small groups to do some group sharing, a brother in our group was saying how, you know, he didn't really think the message of the retreat was really to step up to do anything. It was more to step up and love the Lord. And I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, you know what? He's totally right. Like, we can do a lot of things, but if there's no life, then there's no point, right? But conversely, if we really have this life, if we really have this love for the Lord, and everything else follows. So that really, I'm really glad that brother was there to point that out, and it really spoke to me. And I guess that what that really ties in with is how Mac was talking about being faithful in the small things. And yeah, like Stephen was already saying, you know, it's really easy to... Stephen, nice hair today. Man, you're really dressed up for your interview. yeah, like, you know, it's really easy to do things where people will see you do things. And, like, obviously that's normal, that's natural, just people want to be seen. And a lot of times it's really easy to neglect a lot of the smaller things that you know you should be doing. The stuff that people won't see. Like, I guess a couple examples in my life that I see myself lacking is like, you know, I can spend a lot of time prepping for Bible study, so I have something to say on Friday, but how much time do I spend really just spending quiet time with the Lord? You know, it's easy to call somebody up and talk to them, but how much time do you spend praying for a person? Praying for the fellowship. So a lot of small things that I know I should be doing, but they're hidden things that people don't see, and I kind of neglect them a lot of times. So I think what I really want to learn is something that I've been reminded of like months back already in Bible study, but it's just to really be faithful in the small things that people won't see. To really step up and love the Lord, not to step up and just do things, right? Because that's not what it's about. It's to really love the Lord with my life.
Hi everyone. I'm just wearing my hood because I'm kind of cold, so maybe I'll just take it off for now, but kind of chilly. I thank God for bringing me to the retreat, and you know, going in having read 2 Timothy, I was kind of like, okay, I know exactly what God's getting at, and I know I have to hear it, you know, and you know, talking about I think just on the cover of our, what do you call that thing? Handbook thing? Talking about being a vessel. I think that's something that he's already been speaking to me about, and about the difference between loving myself and loving him, and, you know, the constant reminder that we shouldn't be living carnal lives. And His words are very precious, and they're all really good reminders, and they're all very applicable. And but then it didn't really feel like a wake-up call for me, because it's sort of like, God, I already know that this is what you're trying to get through to me, and this is the work that you're doing in me. More importantly, it's like, God, now that I leave this place, what am I going to do? Because you've made it so clear to me that this is the work that you're doing in me, but I am so weak. I just can't. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, you know? And I think that was a really big fear that I had throughout the whole retreat. And I think it was the last night in the fire, and then Jonah was praying, and he's just like, God, we're worried that, you know, when we go back into our daily lives, like, you know, how are we going to conduct our lives, essentially, I'm paraphrasing. And that was the whole retreat that was my fear. I'm like, God, I just want to stay here forever. I don't want to go home. But God is so good, because when I went home and then I started to do my devotion, and he really spoke to me, and he made it very clear. And I'm going to be reading a little bit, but you're pretty familiar with these verses, so I'm just going to read. I was reading Romans chapter 5, and then, chapter 8, and it starts out, like, awesome, right? There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm like, okay, there's no condemnation. Oh, but I got to walk according to the Spirit and not to the flesh. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, we're back in square one again, right? And then it goes on to talk about, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I'm like, okay, God, I know that, like, you know, I don't want to live a carnal life either, and I don't want to, you know, but but I just still have this fear. I'm like, God, how do I prevent this from happening, you know? And of course in the back of my mind I'm like, I know it's God that has to be doing this work. But I still have this fear. And then, but then towards the end of the chapter, chapter 8, it says, in verse 34, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And I think it was that part that hit me. It said, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and he is making intercession for us. So even though, you know, we are constantly struggling, and we might feel like, you know, we've learned all this knowledge and we want to apply it to our lives, and we still fail, we encounter the exact same situation and we're like, okay, I remember Brother Mac talked about this, I'm so gonna do it, I'm so gonna flee from, like, my youthful lust or whatever, and then we're like totally bomb, right? But or we feel weak, we just feel like we're not up to the challenge. But here it says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and he is interceding for us. And, like, I praise God because he actually reiterated this exact same message to me, like, a couple days later, reading John chapter 17. And this is a chapter where Jesus is praying for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for everyone, all the believers. And it was very precious to see that Jesus is, like, we're not just saying, oh, Jesus is interceding for us. He's actually praying for us. And maybe you guys can take time, like, it's a very precious chapter to read, John chapter 17. But essentially he's saying that, he's praying that the Father the Son himself, and we will be one, and we will be just as we are one. Like, we will be one with Jesus just as he is one with God. And so that actually alleviated a lot of, like, the post retreat sort of, like, I don't know if you guys have this expectation you set for yourself. Now that I heard this, I gotta follow through. But, you know, as much as we need to be diligent, the Lord is, we're still in the Lord's hands. And I thank God that, you know, well, that he is very faithful, and he is responsible to molding us into the servants that we want to be. And so, you know, this, I'm just saying for people that, you know, might have the same fear as I do and think, like, oh, I don't want to backslide and then have to, like, climb all the way back up. Don't worry, because you're in God's hands, and this is going to be a continual process, and Jesus is interceding for us.
Hello. So when I was sitting there, I thought of a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and that's verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And although I'd do anything to just sit back down there and not say anything, I'm up here already, so duh. But I did want to share, because I learned the Moses retreat about prayer, and that's what we talked about in our devotions. And there were a lot of things, like how prayer ought to be placed in the preeminent position, and Satan always wants us to put other things concerning the Lord before prayer and put prayer last. So when we're faced with problems, we say with our lips that only prayer can solve them. But we talk more than we pray, we worry more than we pray, and we scheme more than we pray. And so there's a battle involved here. So there was this one night, and I wanted to try to put everything that we read about into practice. So I was on my bunk, and I wanted to pray. And I remember that there's a line that said, prayer is not the expressing of our wish for God to yield to our petition and fill up our selfish desire. So I started praying, like, thank God for retreat, and then blah, 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 blah. But then after a while, I realized I didn't really know how to pray unselfishly, because every time I do things, it seems to be for, like, just naturally, it's because of, just for me, like, even speaking, I always think about what people will think. So I got kind of frustrated when I was praying. I know it's kind of silly, like, you're not supposed to feel frustrated when you're praying. So then I went to bed kind of disappointed, and, like, I thought when you pray, you're supposed to feel at peace. And so the next day, I was just sharing about that to people, and it's just part of a growing process, because honestly, I haven't been reading my Bible like 1 or 2 or 3 months before the retreat. I was kind of out of touch with God, but it's just part of a learning process. I was kind of wanting to get right up there in one night. So, yeah, I learned that I can't be so impatient with God, because he makes all things beautiful in his time. And then Oh, I want to tell you something. Because I know, like, a lot of us don't want to go home after retreats. But this time, I don't know, I didn't have that feeling. Because I had a song with me, and it's, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So then I was thinking, I don't have to think of it as like I'm going to be sliding right after the retreat. But no, his mercies are new every morning. And it's like we think our failures disqualify us, but Mac was sharing that he's always desiring to bring us back. And I'll tell you something. Last night, my printer didn't work. And I wanted to go to bed because it was so late at night, and my printer didn't work. So, the people who happened to come by, my mom, she got my wrath against the computer. But I wasn't so nice. And the thing is, the day before that, I read a verse that really encouraged me from Psalm 13, I think. Though man, they say, I have over... Oh. So, my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And every time I think that it's like me trying to be good or anything, but really it's God's recovering power that really brings us back. So just once again, like, we may think our failures disqualify us, but he always wants to bring us back. And then even though I mess up, it's not about how good I am, but it's just God is so good and it's his grace.
See, that's the kind of drama we get every Thursday at SFU for lunch. We have Florence with us. Usually when I have almost nothing to say, the Lord gives me a song. So 431, can we sing it? Do you guys need piano? Okay. Do you want to do the honor? Please. Thank you. 431. I know whom I have believed. A year ago when I got the job to go to Calgary, and this is the song the Lord gave me. Next week I'm going to Toronto, so I remembered the song. So let's just sing it through. 5 verses.
Well, actually, for a while I've been sort of struggling whether I should come up and share. Because when Kelvin was song leading and he was asking, oh, how many people know this song, Lord, You're So Good, right? Like, Lord, You have been good, sorry. And then I was like raising my hand, and then I was sitting like near the front, so it seemed like I was like one of the only ones that were raising my hand. So I'm like, oh no, does that mean I'm getting very old? So I was like struggling if I should come up and share, especially when Solomon was very encouraging and said like he encourages the young people to come up and share. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm older than Solomon, so should I come up and share? But anyways, I just thank the Lord that I think He intends for me to share, so I want to stand up and share. Actually, it's sort of interesting how the Lord led me to this retreat, because originally I registered sort of late, and it was a while past the deadline, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to come, because originally I had to go to another conference. But I just thank the Lord that He allowed me to go, join the retreat. And I could sort of see, like, truly, on the first year of retreat, how the Lord led me to go. Because it's sort of a funny scenario. Like, I was, the day before we departed for the retreat, I was looking up my Telus map to, like, just check how I should, like, the routes of going to the retreat. Okay, before I share about this, I was wondering if, is Leanne, Adrian, or Rebecca here? Oh, okay, good. Okay, so they'll sort of understand my sharing if they're here. Okay, yeah. So basically, last year when we were going to Summit for the retreat, it was sort of 2 years I went to Summit, but last year, before I went to the retreat, I was also using my Telus map. And for some reason, when I was following the instructions with the car ride, we ended up like going to nowhere in the middle of a farm, and that was like the end of the instructions. And so we planned a trip to be like we should be there, we should arrive like to be very on time. But so for some reason, by the time we reached the place of nowhere, we had like 15 minutes left, and we didn't really know what to do, so we ended up calling Auntie Zezé and asked like if someone could help us out because we don't know where we are, and the instructions were like not very clear. But for some reason, while I was checking my Telus map this year, I just forgot about the whole scenario of what happened last year, and I just still used my Telus map. So by the time Rebecca got off work, we were sort of in a hurry and a rush to leave the house, so we just went off anyways, and I was like, okay, Lord, I think I'm going to trust in You to bring me there somehow. And then, okay, as we were on our way, like, we realized how unclear the instructions were again, and I was looking at, okay, there's, like, for those that were driving, they'll know there's a 7B and a 7 option, and there's also United Boulevard when you go up, towards Mission. And then, there's a lot of bypasses, and if you, miss the right turning points, you'll be pretty screwed up. It'll take you a while to get back on the highway. And, okay, so basically, Adrian, Leanne, and I, and Rebecca all had the same instructions. And we were all looking at helping Rebecca to get to where we should go. And then all four of us had different interpretations of what those instructions meant. And it was really, really scary because they were like, more than three-way roads, like, all the way. So every time you go the wrong way, it'll take a long time to get back to where we should go. And for some reason, like, despite of all those uncertainties, I think, to me, it seemed, like, really vivid and magical because all the routes that we ended up choosing, and they ended up all to be all correct, and somehow we were able to get to the destination, before the meeting started. So I was just really thankful. And with that experience, I just saw how I knew the Lord wanted me to be at the retreat. But anyways, going back to the topic, I was reminded about, I think, two particular things during the retreat. And I think it really, really struck my heart. And there was one point that Brother Mac made about how, he was trying to get to the point where how we should all be ready to serve the Lord. Like, now is the time to be ready. Like, now is the season, and it's not like we should tell the Lord, okay, Lord, if this and this circumstance did happen, I would be ready to do this for you now. If I wasn't in like all these troubles and trials and difficulties, Lord, I would be able to serve you now. But no, like Brother Mac reminded me about how like the Lord gives us these circumstances for a reason, and now is the time we should be ready to serve him. And for some reason that really struck me, because when he was speaking about that, it just brought back a lot of memories that I was experiencing in my commerce life during school time. I remember back then a lot of times I would be just pursuing a lot of things and goals, and there'll always be these worldly ambitions that hinder me from doing what the Lord wants me to do at a certain moment. Like, and I would be telling the Lord, Lord, you know, if I would be able to get this position and this position in certain executive clubs and this and this and that, yeah, wouldn't that be a very good testimony in sharing about those things for you? And wouldn't that be a lot better? So Lord, I'll just do what you want me to do, like right after this. But this kept on going, and like there'll be always these things that would hinder me from doing what the Lord wants me to do at a certain moment. And it just reminded me how at any point in our lives, like for any moment, we should be a bondservant, and we should be ready to be a witness for him in any kind of circumstances we're in. So yeah, that was a really great reminder for me. And another thing that struck me was the example that Max shared about Thomas Edison, where they were able to invent this wonderful light bulb, and he had his wonderful assistant try to carry it up the stairs so that they could see if the invention worked. And for some reason, I'm sure this assistant didn't intend to like mess it all up, but as he was carrying it up the stairs, he just dropped the light bulb and it shattered into pieces. And then it took up, was it another 6 months for them to get another light bulb together and try it out again. And as Brother Mac was sharing that example, it just reminded of like me of myself. Like a lot of times I would be that person to screw up everything. And like that just reminded me of how our attitude towards serving the Lord is. A lot of times like we may like not have like the complete correct like diligent attitude in serving the Lord. Like if we have the correct attitude and like we would try our best to do like do it with a faithful attitude, but like it just also reflects on like our attitude in service. And that was just one side of the thing that reminded me. And the second thing is all the times how even though we fail the Lord, like how the assistants may have failed Edison, but the Lord still never gives up on us. And that really ties right into how he shared about Mark, as how Paul and Barnabas were on their missionary journeys, and how under a lot of difficult circumstances, Mark just felt he cannot persevere, and he just deserted them. And a lot of times I feel I could share in how maybe Mark would feel. Like a lot of times when we're put into not just persecution, but like sometimes when we feel like we're very lonely in like our ministry, or just even with working with gospel friends, or how we feel there's no one that really understands us, and how there might be only a very few people who would truly be there to genuinely pray for us and have or share the same burden. Like I would like feel that way, and during those discouraging times, all the times I would feel I want to give up, and I would just want to let it go, because it's just very tough sometimes when nobody really understands your burden. But I'm just thankful how the Lord reminded me of how He's always faithful, and he'll remain faithful till the very end. And if we're able to just set our eyes upon Him and remember Jesus Christ, and not just focus on our own failures, like the Lord would once again allow us to be useful vessels for Him. So it's not how much we have failed Him, but like the Lord knows, and we saw how, like, even though Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas, but like later on, the Lord also used him greatly. So that was just very encouraging to me, that how the Lord knows our hearts and that He will be able to use us as useful vessels for Him. Yeah. Okay. And you guys don't have to worry; it won't take very long because I need to go to the washroom.
Honestly, I can't talk in public because my face will get all red and I'll start shaking and everything. So I was like struggling back there thinking maybe I'll just sit back for a whole day and then, yeah. But then I'm up here. So I just want to share a little incident that happened during the retreat. The soccer ball fell in the water. I think everyone knew about it, right? So I was like floating further and further away, and then me and two other girls, we started praying, and then actually, and later on, I heard it from someone else, like, the ball actually floated back by itself. So oftentimes, like, during prayers and everything, like, I depend so much on my feeling. Like, oh, if I feel God's presence and everything, I'll be so, like, excited and everything, but then if I don't feel God's talking back to me, I feel really frustrated. And I know it's wrong, like I shouldn't do it. And sometimes I depend too much on the things I see, like, but not the fact that God is there. He's always there. So I think God is really nice to me because He showed me little things, like to remind me that He's always there for me. It's like, yeah, so I don't have to worry or just thinking, oh, like depending so much on my feeling. So I'm really thankful.
On Sunday morning, Max said something about, well, he said that we always call upon the Lord in the days of trouble. But to avoid all these unnecessary trouble, we can start off by letting God in control of our lives. And before the retreat, one of the lines in a song was stuck in my mind, and it says, "In surrender, I must give my every part." For the past year, I had gotten into a lot of trouble and a lot of situations that were pretty much unnecessary. And thinking back on it, I would have gotten out of it so easily if I had let God in control of my life, and if I had been faithful with reading my Bible and just praying to God. And to think back on it, that if I did have Him in my life, He would have given me answers that would have helped me with the decisions I made, and all the things that troubled me for a long time. And I realized why He put those words in my heart, because after all the situations that troubled me, I really did say, "Lord, take it all," because I honestly can't control my life because it just gets worse and worse. And and that song really does encourage me to not make decisions on my own without God in my life.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. What did I learn from the retreat? I'll tell you the same answer that I told people on Monday. Remember Jesus Christ. Done. I'll share a little bit more. I was looking through all my chicken scratch here, and I was like, wow, there's so many points. So many things to put into practice, so many things to do. But, you know, when it all came down to was, for me, it was remember Jesus Christ. That was the main point, the thesis, so to speak. It's simple. It's, you know, three words, remember Jesus Christ. It's direct, to the point, easy to implement. And for me, that was something big because, you know, like, often these conferences, these retreats, for a brainiac like me, you know, they become a list of points, spiritual info, things to do, just, you know, knowledge. But, the one thing that actually, you know, stuck out to me was remember Jesus Christ. It's simple, it's easy to do, and a lot of the times we just don't do it. It's easy to forget Jesus Christ in the midst of all the other things that we need to do. And so, like, that is the thing that really stuck out to me, was remember Jesus Christ. And through this, you know, through this past week, you know, I've been trying to, like, put that into practice, right? You know, start with that thing first, right? And, you know, it's been good. Like, just, you know, even in the small situations at work and whatnot, you know, just remembering Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's keeping the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Right? So, yeah, so, you know, that was what really stuck out to me, was remember Jesus Christ. And it's easy, and it's, you know, the thing that really stuck out to me. And so, yeah.
I didn't really prepare to say anything today, but I just really felt the Lord prompting me to come up and just share just a couple things that I learned from the retreat. If there's anything I can take away from it, is just that I'm really thankful that I got the opportunity to hear Brother Max speak, and also that the Lord just proved himself so real to me. Like, before going to the retreat, I honestly didn't want to go, like, I didn't even sign it up for it myself. I asked David to sign up for me because I was really half-hearted in going. But it was just amazing how I came late because I had to work that morning, Saturday morning, but I came to that evening message on Saturday, and just all of a sudden I was just overwhelmed with just a feeling of peace and a feeling of calmness in my heart that I haven't had for such a long time. Like, before the retreat, I was just boggled down with so much, I don't know, just sadness, and because I was really far away from the God, I was so involved in myself. And what touched me was when he was talking to us about the problem that we have, the battle of life that we're in, seeing the contrast between lovers of self and lovers of God. And I was definitely loving myself and choosing myself before God, and that is exactly why I was in that state of sadness that I was in, always searching for fulfillment elsewhere, fulfillment in the world, and not getting it. So, like, even today, like, coming tonight was also another battle. You know, do I choose to come, or do I choose to go to a friend's birthday party? But every time I choose God, I realize that he blesses me. So I'm really thankful for that being revealed to me. And another thing he said that touched me was disobedience of parents becomes a breakdown of society. That we've been blessed so much, but we take so much for granted. And I can definitely say that that's true for myself.
My relationship with my parents are great, and my relationship with my family is good, but a lot of times I find there's so much miscommunication, and even just before the retreat, during that period of my frustration in my life, there was a lot of conflict with my parents, and a lot of it's because, I realize that I've been blessed so much, but I take their love for granted as well, and I think that's another thing I just need to kind of focus more on, is just letting myself go, becoming selfless, and that's such a constant struggle, but I am weak, and I need the Lord's strength to help me through that, and so that's just kind of the couple things that, I took from the retreat, just to understand just how much blessings that I have from the Lord, and to become selfless, and to regain that connection I have with God, and to strengthen my relationship so that I may choose Him more, as opposed to choosing myself. And He's the only one that can give me a true sense of happiness and fulfillment in my life. That's no one else. And before coming to the retreat, I started doubting again the Lord. It's so scary. I find that so scary every time, because sometimes I'll have a spiritual high and I'll know exactly why I believe, and the Lord's so true to me. He's proven Himself evident in my life. But at times I become so involved in the world that I forget why I believe. And so, yeah. So also, if you guys want to pray for me too. Yeah. So that's all.
Okay, hi. I just want to share about one thing that. I want to share about one thing about Brother Mac talking about being that second person all the time and always waiting for someone to be first. Well, I have a friend since grade 6. Well, recently her dad, he left her and her family, and then she wanted to commit suicide and everything, and then at school she's really, really sad all the time, and she has this really close friend that pretty much left her as well, so I'm there's only me that can help her, and recently I really want to share the gift of God with her, but I'm kind of scared too because she's a Muslim. And one day she asked me, would people let me into a church when I'm Muslim? And I was like, of course they would. They would let anyone inside. So I was wondering, maybe someday she can come to our church. And then I'm not really sure about that because she's going lots of things in her life right now. So I just want to be that first person who can share the testimony of God with her. And that, and also when sometimes we think that we're scared of facing God because we think we aren't ready, but then when we fail, God always gives us another chance. But then sometimes you might not have another chance when you share the gospel with a friend because you never know what will happen. And something that really scared me the other day was she was like really out of it, and she just suddenly stepped into the street and the car almost hit her. And she came to me, she was like, "You'll never know what happened. I almost got hit by a car." And I was like, this is the time when God really wants me to share the gospel with her.
Well, at the retreat, I just really thank God because He gave us all another chance to listen to His words and also to be encouraged by like Brother Max sharing and also by brothers and sisters. And I think for me, I realized that God's mercy and His grace it just never ends, even though a lot of times I fall so short. And like in 2 Timothy, it was talking about lovers of self versus lovers of God, and a lot of times I would feel that like my motives wouldn't be right, or just a lot of things. But then God just showed that like His grace is just infinite, and it's not because of what I do or how hard I try, but it's just due to God. Like, He's so faithful. And yeah, I just really want to thank God for everything that He's done, like during the retreat, and also that He's faithful to us.
Good evening. let's see, where to begin. I think over the past year, not just retreat, the Lord has really put a burden in my heart to share about relationships. I think it was a real calling because, you know, no one else shared about relationships earlier, and, you know, so it's my turn now. So just a little testimony about myself, I guess. So once upon a time, Chung thought he found the perfect girl. you know, she had nice black hair, modestly dressed, pretty smart, the smartest girl at school. And she had a cool Australian accent, so I'm like, dude. Yeah. You know, so in the worldly eyes, you know, she seemed to be perfect, except, you know, she didn't have God. So one day I was like, Lord, I'm going to win her to you, you know, because, you know, I'm just that capable. and, you know, so the Lord, with a sparkle in his eyes, like, sure, Chung, sure. And, you know, let's see. So, you know, it went on for a little while, and, you know, my parents started nagging me. It's like, when are you going to bring her to church, Chung? I'm like, Mom, I'm working on it, you know. And then a week goes by, and then nag me again, and like, dude, you said that last week. And, you know, so it just keeps on going on like this. And so then I really began to think, you know, how much am I really compromising in this relationship? And so I really thought about it. And so the Toronto Youth Conference came along, And that was a real wake-up call. You know, his sister Jenny there with, you know, give me the beats. you know, that was pretty good. So I really, you know, learned something from that conference. And so then the fear of man hit me, you know. Like, dude, I don't want to make her cry, you know. Because every time I see someone cry, you know, my eyes start, you know, welling up with, like, watery eyes. And, you know, and you don't know why. But it just happened. So I was pretty afraid to, like, break her heart, you know. Like, you know, and answering the questions from other friends, like, whoa, dude, she's so good, you know. She's so nice, and, you know, why would you do that? So I really dragged it on, like, due to the fear of man. And, but one day I was finally able to bring it to the Lord and really, you know, stop what I was doing. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful for the Lord's grace because he was really protecting me because I had no money. I had no time. I had so much homework. She'd go to another school, and I'd be at another school. You know, you never see them very much. But so having no money, I'd always have to make things. You know, I was like, Lord, I'm tired of this. You know, it takes so much time. I need to study. Lord is really faithful, but. You know, I'm reminded of, like, the story of Jonah that we're learning in Sunday school, and how Jonah was fleeing, and the Lord provided the boat to Tarshish, but then he had to pay the fare. So, I really wasted a couple of years, and now it's time to start redeeming the time, so, yeah.
To admit that there was 6 messages, I know only 3. Okay, so well, the thing that really hit me the most is that we are gamblers. We are gamblers of Christ, and that we should be ready in and out of season. What really hit me the most, what bothered me the most, is that Satan, he calls for tomorrow, that he doesn't want us to be ready, that he just keeps trying to get in our way. But God, he calls for today. He wants us to come today. He wants us to be ready today. That we need to be there today, ready for him. And that's completely opposite to me, because I'm never ready in anything, actually. Most of the time, I'm actually late for a lot of things. But when we do things for him, Max said that most of the time, only it'll be between us and Jesus himself, that only us two will know. That it's not something that will be like a big event that, hey, you did this great thing, congratulations. But it's nothing like that. It's no parade for us. It's just like that hidden life that we have is between us and Jesus. And continuing that we were born into a battle, a soldier. That every day is a battle between us and the other side. And then he moves into the athlete, that we fight by the rules. But then I think, hey, Satan doesn't fight by the rules. That's not fair. So, that we're able to fight with God, along with the rules, against someone who doesn't, I think that's a pretty hard thing to do. And that, because it's so hard, that it makes it so much more worth it when we actually can. That we should be ready for God, and that we should be ready when he comes. we need to be ready today. And that's something that really hit me hard.
Despite my incredible advancement in age, I'm going to be up here to just share a few things. Feel a prompting inside. I think before I came to retreat, I was actually really discouraged because I think one Friday fellowship, I was with the high school kids, and we were just doing a preview of the chapter in Timothy. And we looked at Paul and how he said, like, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've ran the race, and I looked at Paul, I was like, whoa, this guy is, like, so perfect. Like, and I was thinking, like, you know, I'm so far from that. Like, I'm so weak, and I keep failing in my walk with the Lord. And so I felt really discouraged, and I kept looking at myself. And so I wondered, like, I even asked, you know, what's the use of praying? Like, I asked my brother, and I said, like, what's the use of praying? What's the point of it? You know, if God is, he has his way and he has his plan a certain way, like, what am I to do? You know, like, what's the use of praying? And so it was really weird, but the very first devotion that we had, the first question that was asked in that devotion was, why pray? What is the use of praying? So I was a bit shocked that like, God would speak to me through the first devotion already. And it was saying how, like, even though God is omniscient and omnipotent, why is it that he would want us to pray? And the one thing that really touched me was that it says, like, prayer is a great mystery. For here we see a principle of God's working, which is that God's people must pray before God himself will rise up and work. His will is only to be realized through the prayers of those who belong to him. The prayers of believers are to accomplish his will. And it says that it is not a forcing of the Lord to change his will and perform what he is unwilling to do. No, prayer is simply speaking out the will of God through the mouth of the believer. Before God, the believer asks in prayer for the Lord's will to be done. And so the last paragraph also spoke to me because it says, prayer does not alter that which God has determined. Prayerlessness, though, does affect the change because God will let many of his resolutions go suspended due to the lack from his people of prayerful cooperation with him. And so, as I felt really discouraged and all, during the retreat, I kept thinking about what a terrible person I am. But then, what Max shared, like, in the last message, as a lot of brothers and sisters were sharing that they were really touched by, was how we are gamblers of our lives. And then Max did share something, and he's saying that the Lord is looking for a reflection. Like, he's looking for himself, a manifestation of his life. He's not looking for us to improve ourselves, but for us to decrease. And so he was also sharing about the Lord's word is today. Whenever he calls us, it's to be faithful today. And I was sharing with my older brother yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, if I keep looking at myself or comparing myself to others, or just look at how bad I am, I'm just going to be standing there and just looking at where I ought to be. But if I just remember Jesus Christ, it's a very simple thing, is to look to the Lord, because he's made every provision for us to be who he's intended us to be, then we're just on that path. We're moving with him. And so it's not about, like, looking at ourselves and seeing how much we have changed already. But if we do change, it's an afterthought. And so hearing that, it was really interesting how the Lord would use our Wednesday Bible night study to speak to my heart again. And it was about Daniel, and he saw this vision. And after he saw a vision of the Lord, like, he was so fearful, he fell to the ground, and he fell into a deep sleep. But then suddenly an angel came, and he raised him up and said the following words to him. The angel said, Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." And I was really touched by this because I had such little faith that God was going to change me. And I was so discouraged, and I just kept focusing my eyes on myself. But during the retreat, I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, please change me from the inside. Please increase, and may I decrease." And I was very doubtful that I would change even after I prayed. But from the Lord's words to Daniel, it says, "From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." And so I'm really touched because, even though my prayers are so feeble and it's so lacking in faith, that God is reminding me that even from the first utterance of my prayers, even before we see anything really happening, He's already started that work. And He's that author and finisher of our faith. And so the last thing I like to share, brothers and sisters, is when we were doing these devotions on prayer, a song by Keith Green came to my mind. And it's "Make My Life a Prayer to You." And the words are so precious. So the words go like this. "Make my life a prayer to You. I want to do what You want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I want to die so You might live. Through Your Son You sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know You're really here. And I want to thank You, Lord, for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what You say. Oh, You're coming again, coming to take me away." The last thing that Mac was sharing was, if we live with that consciousness of the Lord's coming and His appearing, it will really change how we live our lives. And so that's what I want to share with everybody.
Due to mass overtime, we have to end tonight unless someone's heart is about to pop out from their mouth due to them being so excited coming up, then I'll make an exception. It does not seem like anyone is like this. But in all seriousness, before we end tonight, let's end off with a word of prayer and commit it back to our Lord. Lord, we want to praise You for, Lord, You give what's best for us. And Lord, You have been so good to us. You've poured grace upon our lives day after day. And through every experience, Lord, we see that You are slowly yet surely molding us to be who You want us to be, Lord. Lord, may we not be discouraged when we falter, or be discouraged when things go dry or go cold, Lord. May we really look off unto You, Lord, for indeed You are the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. We want to praise You that You've blessed us with this retreat, Lord, that You've taught us so much. Lord, may this truly only be the beginning, that we may use this as a foundation, not so that we could stay, Lord, not so we could stay here, but that we could build upon it, and that we could build each other up, Lord, as Your body, and that You may be pleased with our hearts and with our lives. Lord, we take all the sharing tonight, and we commit it back into Your hands for safekeeping, Lord. May You really take it and remind us time and again of the things that You have taught us. And Lord, we want to praise You again for this time, and we bless Your name, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.